Sactown Sports Headlines.
It's Simone Rickford with your Sactown Sports Headlines. After four straight days of clinch scenarios, the Sacramento Kings and its fan base are still waiting to celebrate the franchise's first NBA playoff berth since 2006. Kings find themselves in the City of Roses tonight as the 14-point favorites looking to clinch that elusive playoff spot. According to ESPN stats and info, that would be their most favorable spread in a road game in over 30 years. Entering the season, Sacramento was plus 300 to make the playoffs and 250-1 to win the division. For more details on this historic matchup tonight, check out SactownSports.com or our Sactown Sports app. We're covering all the bases today and definitely previewing this Kings matchup up in Rip City as we lead you up to game night coverage tipping off at 5:30. I'm Simone. Those are your headlines. Welcome back in to Cattles and Rami.
Live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles
and Rami
on Sactown Sports.
Third hour of the show, what's happening? If you're just joining us and you're thinking about the clinching tonight in Portland.
Mic check. 3 hours for tip-off, baby.
Yes.
Mic check.
We told you a little bit earlier that, of course, if the Clippers lose tonight, you clinch. And if that happened because the game is in Memphis, we would know that before probably the second quarter tonight of the Kings game. And Kawhi is going to be out tonight. So no Kawhi or Paul George. However, our friend Deuce Mason tweeted out, lots of Grizzlies are going to be missing tonight, or might be mostly missing, however you want to put it. John, it's Conchar, right? I always get his name confused with the dude from the Hawks back in the day.
I'll go with Conchar.
All right, Conchar is questionable. Tillman is questionable. Doubtful. You've got Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., Tyus Jones, all three of those guys are doubtful. Of course, Steven Adams is out. Brandon Clark is out. Zaire Williams is out. And, you know, Vince Williams is a two-way transfer guy, so not really worried about him. But a lot of Grizzlies going to be out of this game, too. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe we do have to witness a Kings win for the clinch tonight. Or maybe the Clippers without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard will be terrible.
Go Clips. Don't cut that.
Rami wants the win, baby. Give me the win. All right, so talking about tonight and Friday, you got back-to-back games in Portland. Portland is 32-43. Dame Dalla is done. Am I crazy to think that these two games in Portland are critical? Yeah, I said critical for the Kings.
Critical?
Yes. Am I crazy to think that?
To me, I mean, maybe I'm being too literal here, but critical means if you don't get it done, like, it's over. You're dead. Like, that's the literal definition of the term critical. Like,
no, if you're in critical condition at the hospital, you're not dead yet.
Right, but if things don't, but you're on the edge, like, you could die any minute
it depends
if
on
you're
how
in
you
critical
look at
condition.
It.
You know what I mean?
You could turn it around.
Sure, absolutely.
Plenty of people are in critical condition right away.
They're big, man. These are some big games. I'm not just looking. I'm like Mike Brown. I didn't come here just to make the playoffs. You know what I mean? And I brought the winning with me, just like Mike Brown.
By the way, you've been very semantic-y today. Mark set you off. Critical is like, critical, hold on.
What? Critical means you might die. I don't think they're going to die if they lose these two games. God, could you imagine, though, if they lose two games to this Portland team? That'd be...
Now you're going down the road.
That'd be pretty disheartening.
Now you're going down the road.
That'd be pretty disheartening.
No Dame Dalla. They're missing like four of their best players. You're starting to get down that road now.
But there's still time left to get this thing back on the tracks before the playoffs start. There's, what, seven games left in the season?
There could be. But here's why I think they're critical. Here's
God,
my
that
case.
That would be a gut punch.
Here's my case, okay? First, you want to wrap up the 3-seed ASAP.
Let's get this over with.
Right? You want to wrap up the 3-seed. You need to win three games. You need to win three games. If the Suns go undefeated with Kevin Durant, you need three wins to lock down that 3-seed. I'd like to see that. Another thing is, I don't want to see this team play with their food. Like, I just, we're at the time of year, I watched the Celtics last night against the Wizards. Well, I fast-forwarded through the Celtics and the Wizards last night because the Celtics decided not to show up. Wizards had really nobody playing. They had Porzingis playing, but really nobody else. Celtics are playing the Bucks tomorrow night. They had a chance to beat the Wizards last night and really put themselves in a position to be the one seed in the East. They didn't show up. They got blasted by an undermanned Wizards team in Washington. I don't want to see that from the Kings. Like, we're getting close to the playoffs. And I'm not telling you if you lose these games, you're done, it's over, you're dead, to use Rami's term. But what I am saying is I don't want to see it. Do you want to see a loss against Portland at this time of year without Damian Lillard?
Dude, one loss wouldn't sit well with me. If they lost two games in Portland, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to consider that possibility.
So that's the first thing. Just in a vacuum, losing to this particular team, given these particular circumstances, not good. Not good at all. Take care of your business. Walk in. Stomp them. Walk out. Okay? I would also say this is your chance to get some other guys going. This is your chance, right? So we saw what happened on Monday night. Keegan off night. Monk off night through the first three quarters. Herter had foul trouble. He was, you know, he got it going a little bit in the fourth quarter. But this is your chance to tighten some things up. I don't want to say this is practice because it's definitely not practice. But these are the games that you can work on things. You can tighten things up. You might be able to steal a couple of minutes here and there within your rotation. You might want to try to get Chimezie Metu some minutes in the next two games because he hasn't played much recently given the matchups. Maybe you want to try Chimezie at the five again and see what happens. You know, this gives you some wiggle room to play around a little bit. And the reason why I say that is because once you get past Rami this weekend, there is no more playing around. And that's why I think these games are critical. Because once you get past this weekend, so you've got Portland, and then you've got the terrible San Antonio Spurs on Sunday. Then you have to close out your season, your regular season, with those four games that JJ and I talked about looking back last week when we looked, you know, to the 10 games to finish the year. After the Spurs game, you got to go across the country and play in New Orleans. Then you've got to play at Dallas. Then you're back home against the Warriors. Not an easy game.
Right.
And then you finish the year. Now, this is a big if because we don't know who's going to be playing that night given their situation. But then you have to go to Denver. So those games you ain't playing around. Those games you have zero leeway. Golden State, Dallas, New Orleans, the Nuggets, they're all teams that are playoff teams.
Nuggets might be playing load management.
Well, that's what I mean.
We
don't know who they're going to play. They might play nobody, but also you might not play anybody because your seed is likely figured out. So we might be having two G League teams on the final night of the regular season.
You're right that there's opportunity here. There's opportunity to get this thing going and close out the season strong and use the Blazers as a launching pad for that, because this is a serious mismatch here tonight with all the guys that are out for the Blazers. You said they're what, 14-point favorites tonight in Portland?
They were like 12.5 yesterday.
12.5, whatever it is, it's an absurd number. It's a number you don't see very often from betting lines in the NBA. And there's a reason for that. This is a big-time mismatch. You should be able to go in there and take care of business. And, yeah, Nick, maybe get the ball rolling to go into the postseason with 5-6 wins out of these last 7 games, get to that 50 mark, lock up the playoff spot, maybe make a little noise in catching the Grizzlies for the 2 seed. There's opportunity here in this little stretch of schedule starting with these two games against a very undermanned Portland Trail Blazers team. I see it. I still wouldn't go as far as critical, but I see the opportunity that you're talking about.
So, a couple of things. Again, I'm not going to get wrapped up in the semantics, but
I will. That's
YouTube, TCG, it's usually so not your thing, by the way. TCG in YouTube calls me crazy. He says, you are crazy. Let down games against G League teams is not critical. It'd be sad, but not the end of the world. Again, it's not the end of the world. I didn't say it was death. But here's the thing. When we talk about let down games against G League teams, number one, your coaching staff and the players on this team have been preaching that every game counts. Every game matters. We play hard every single night. That is what has defined your season, TCG. What has defined this basketball team is nonstop effort and compete, right? So as we get closer to the postseason, if you lose focus, if you go off the tracks a little bit, and you lose to a team like Portland, or you lose to the Spurs, that's not good because it goes against the message you have been sending all year long. And it's at a very, very important time of the year. This isn't game 35 where you could just chalk it up to, whatever, middle of the season stuff. Also, you're going to be a playoff team for the first time in 16 years. This is not the Warriors. We're not talking about a team that's been in the playoffs, that's made deep runs. We're not talking about a team that could just say, whatever, it was a G League loss, blah. No, no. Because you have to embrace every step. You have to take care of your business every step of the way. People started taking the Bucks seriously when Giannis brought up the whole, didn't want to play with our food. He was the first guy that really said that publicly. I'm sure it was said a lot in the NBA within the inner circles, but he was the first.
That was the first time I'd heard that expression.
Me too. Me too. And so when you looked at it, that was Giannis' statement that year. And yes, it was in the playoffs, but Giannis' statement was, we are not going to make it tougher on us when we don't have to. We're going to walk in and take care of business because we are that alpha team. And you need to start drawing the line. Like, we can't be upset. For Kings fans, you can't be upset about teams targeting the Kings in the playoffs as the third seed, but be okay with them losing against the ham and egg team like Portland.
Yeah, lose against Portland, people call you a mark.
That's a disconnect. That's a disconnect between how you feel as a Kings fan. Teams that earn that fear and respect and stuff, they walk into Portland and they smack these cats two times in a row. And they walk out like they own the joint. That's what teams do that want to be taken seriously. Especially teams, I would say, that don't have the history recently of being a contending team, a playoff team, a postseason team. So when you look at the last four games of the year, I say take advantage of the easier games when you can. Take care of Portland. Take care of Portland. Take care of San Antonio. Wrap up the third seed. Everything else is icing on the cake.
Put you at 48. Just take these next three. You're right there at 48, right on the precipice. 50 games.
Zombiehead says losing these games is equal to the games the Mavs just lost to the Hornets. Yes. You know, Mavs in a tougher spot,
yeah, they're
obviously.
Fighting for their lives.
But you don't want to lose these kinds of games.
I get what you're saying.
It's not the end of the world. It's not death. You. But you don't want to lose these games. John Williams, better smack him by 30.
You know what the Blazers are? A mark.
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 I don't know why. Something about the delivery of that, just that word.
It's got you all
day. Stuck with me all these years.
You're going to be giggling tonight.
I haven't
about
seen
this.
Boys in the Hood in at least a decade. And for some reason, just the way that guy said Mark stuck
Mark.
With me.
I don't even remember it from the show, from the movie, until we started talking about it and heard it. I would never have remembered it. By the way, Kyle Lewis says they are critical. Clinching aside, you don't lose to a depleted Portland team. So, Portland games coming up tonight and Friday. Do you see them as critical? Do you see them as important? I do. I think these games are important.
I see opportunity.
See opportunity.
I don't like letting opportunity slip through your fingers.
Your thoughts. 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is wide open for you Kings fans. 1-800-920-1140. SacktownSports.com is the website, the app. You can check it out. Download it. SacktownSports1140. You can get us from anywhere. You'll get to continue with your reaction with us also coming up. Draymond Green, madman or mad scientist? We'll discuss in 90 seconds.
Cattles and Ronnie.
Sacktown Sports. Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and more.
This is Cattles and Ronnie
on Sacktown Sports.
This might be my favorite YouTube post in quite a while. It's very simple, gets to the point. The comment is, I've never heard my name said that many times. The person's name is Mark Owens.
It's a Mark.
Mark.
Yeah. A little bit of a dad joke, but it hit right for me during the quick break. Just hit right. By the way, 63 likes we have on YouTube. Trying to get to 75. We passed the first goal of 50. Let's 100. Get to 75.
Please hit that thumbs up. Support live and local. Cattles and Rami, you know. We need that thumbs up, please.
You heard the lady.
Oh, that's 75 easy.
YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. See, you missed this. We'll get back to the Kings in a minute. You missed this, Rami. I think it was Monday.
Yeah.
The reason why Simone gets all pumped and jacked when we
talk about the likes. Uh-huh.
So JJ kept popping on Monday, right, when he was Wally Pippin' you.
Yeah.
And he kept saying, well, if we need likes, we got to bring on Simone. Simone just asked for likes. It happens.
75 easy.
We needed 50. JJ said that. Simone popped on, threw 50. Same thing happened at 75. Through 75.
Hopefully my people don't 100. Let me down today. Please don't let me down.
We're at 108.
And what people, I don't think, really acknowledged or realized during that time on Monday is the power that they gave Simone that she now feels she has.
I want to be with you everywhere.
She now feels like she's got control over
her. I love flowers, man. What can I say?
She's asking for Comic-Con tickets. She's asking for flowers.
Violating all kinds of payola.
I don't think you're supposed
plugs.
To be doing that.
No.
My bad.
I'm not the PD anymore, though.
I'm still
check
learning. I'm still developing. That's the thing here. So thank you.
I went back to strictly hosting. I forgot all the rules.
I'm not going to snitch, Simone.
No.
Thank you.
It's not like he listens to every show. Mark Owens is like, again, and again, and another one, like DJ Khaled Jif. All right, so we got to talk about Draymond here for a few minutes. And by the way, RH says good teams take care of business. I agree with that for the most part, especially when you're in this, like, when you're in this particular situation that the Kings are in, right? Like, again, I watched Celtics-Wizards last night. Incredibly frustrating. Just fast-forwarded through it. Puke-inducing. Like, what the hell was that? Now, some would defend the Celtics. JJ has been saying he still thinks they're the best team, and I know, Rami, you're big on them. And mm-hmm. Some would still say, like, it doesn't matter. It's the Celtics. They got to the finals last year. It's the Wizards, whatever. When the playoffs start and they play against the Bucks, when they play tomorrow against Milwaukee, it'll be different, blah, blah. When you're the Kings, you don't have that recent history, right? You get the benefit of the doubt only to
a
certain
earned.
Line.
Right. Yeah. That's earned.
And so that's why I also think that it's interesting stuff. By the way, we're up to 73 likes. See? Simone is feeling the power surging through.
I want to be with you everywhere. It's so bad. That drop is so bad.
from her feet to the top of her head. By the way, I did tweet this out. At Nick C Radio, if you want to follow me on Twitter, at Rami is tweeting.
That's me.
Kings need to take care of their food. Stomp Portland tonight and Friday. Smoke the Spurs over the weekend. Don't mess around with the final stretch being much tougher. And at Stay Positive 123 tweets back at me. Absolutely. They really not a true third seed if they can't win these games. Now, I'd say they still earn the third seed if they lose a game in Portland, but you get the point. Let's get to Draymond Green. So Draymond Green lost his mind last night in the second quarter. I flipped over to the game, and there was texts, tackles, kicks, histrionics, everything that was happening. It was like Monday Night Raw at the Chase Center on the floor last night. And then Golden State ends up outscoring New Orleans in the second half, 74-46.
Oof.
And in the post game, it was all about Green. Let's give people an example of that with what Steve Kerr had to say.
Draymond willed us to victory tonight. I mean, his intensity, his frustration early with the way we were playing. Mad at the world, yelling at everybody, their bench, our bench, me. And frankly, we all deserved it. You know, like that first half was as poor a half as we've played all year, and we weren't engaged, but that's what makes Draymond special. It's not just the amazing basketball IQ and defense and playmaking, but it's just his sheer will, and he was the key tonight.
I think it's calculated, and I think it's orchestrated, and it might not always work the right way, and sometimes he just loses it, and that's why Jordan Poole ended up on the floor of the practice court before this season started. He definitely crosses a line sometime. But when I was watching that last night, Nick, I was watching it and going, this dude knows exactly what he's doing. When he made Brandon Ingram lose his damn mind with those back-to-back sequences in the second quarter you talked about where tussles, I won't call them fights, but tussles broke out because of what Draymond was doing. Draymond was in their head at that point. And, man, I've never had a problem with a guy going back to his sideline and screaming and up and down the sideline when things need to be fixed and somebody needs to speak up and say something. I got no problem with that whatsoever. He knew exactly what he was doing last night, and it worked to perfection.
He knew what he was doing, and that's why I'm even more tired of him. I've been tired of him for years. And
is it effective, though?
Look, last night, I'm not buying it. Steve Kerr can go out there and say he willed us to win. You know what happened when Draymond did all that stuff in the second quarter and he got sent to the bench by Steve Kerr? You know what happened? The Pelicans went on a run. The Pelicans were up by 20 at one point. They were up huge at halftime. If you're telling me that Draymond Green's fit, quote-unquote, his kerfuffle, his tussle, whatever you want to call it, whatever that was, he's cutting promos on the sideline like Hulk Hogan in the 80s, whatever he's doing, okay?
Dude, Bob Myers had to come over and calm him down.
You're going to tell me that, you know, 40 minutes later, all of a sudden the light went off. Oh, wait a minute. Draymond Green got angry 40 minutes ago. Now it's time to play. If that is what turned the tide of that game, it would have happened right then and there. Not 40 minutes later, not after a halftime. No, I'm not buying it. I don't think Draymond Green single-handedly willed those guys to win last night because he went out there and acted like he was on a Broadway play. I'm not going to buy that. And even more so, okay, he's become a caricature of himself. The whole idea that he did this on purpose, which he did, the whole idea that he drummed this up, he has become a caricature.
He's an agitator.
But I
would agree with you on the caricature thing if it had lost its effectiveness. If guys just looked at Draymond and snickered and went on about their business, they don't. Dude, he gets under people's skin. He gets in people's heads.
If you think the Pelicans didn't shoot as well in the second half because Draymond Green huffed and puffed and tried to blow Chase Center down last night as a big fraud,
I think guys get frazzled. I think Brandon Ingram was frazzled. I don't think you get that emotional and that worked up and it doesn't affect what you're doing, no matter what it is. I couldn't get that emotional and worked up in the hallway and then walk in here and just do any old show. You know what I mean? I don't think anybody can. Draymond affected that game with what he did.
I'm sorry, but there's just something that doesn't feel right after you saw Draymond Green Superman punch his teammate during a practice. And now we're going to go out there after the game and again reward him for acting like a knucklehead.
Yes.
And that's what he's done his whole career. And people keep rewarding him. His team keeps loving him. And I get it. They've won championships. If they didn't win championships, Draymond would be perceived in an entirely different way. Okay? But they've won championships.
He'd be Dylan Brooks.
They've won championships because of Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson. Draymond Green's a part of it, but he's not the axis. Okay? He's not. And this idea of him doing this stuff, he does it because he knows he can get away with it. This guy should have 50 technicals every year. The officials are afraid of him. The NBA is afraid of him. I'm not talking about the players. Some players, I'm sure, are. But it's like this
guy. I'm not saying you're wrong. I like a guy who plays. I like that there is a guy who plays the villain.
Okay, so Marcus Smart is somewhat similar.
I like him too.
But I think Draymond Green is Marcus Smart times 20. He's way too over the top for me. Like because again, as you said, it's an act with him. He said it himself. We were dead. I felt like I had to go out there and do something. That's what you do. How about play good defense? How about share the basketball?
Probably did some of that too.
In the second half, he did.
Sure.
Like, it's just, I mean, the officiating crews are a joke. They never want to call text on this guy. They call text.
Would you like him if he was on your team? Would you like having that guy on your team who gets under other team's skin?
I think you can get.
He's got Marcus Smart.
Yeah, that's true. I think you can have somebody who can get under the skin.
I get what you're saying
without that much extra. To me, Draymond's just too much extra. It's just too much extra. At a certain point, draw the line.
He takes it too far sometimes. I'm not going to deny that.
The act is tired to me. It's tired. Like he could sit there and bark and do whatever he's doing with his chest puffed out. It's just tired to me. It's like I've seen this before. And the fact that if it does still work with the Warriors, it says a lot about the Warriors.
I like it.
You can't self-motivate.
And I'll also like it when it blows up in his face.
You need a dude out there cutting promos.
I'm entertained by all of it.
Like he's on Friday Night SmackDown. A 26-year-old MVP is publicly available, so why is everyone running from him? That's next.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports. Cattles and Rami.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
We will get back to the Kings in a little bit. But first, a few minutes on Lamar Jackson and how seemingly every team that might want, need a quarterback is running away from a former MVP. Lamar's 26 years old. He won the MVP a few years ago. He is available. He publicly told everyone on Twitter that he had a trade request on March 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
He wants out. Now, the expectation would be that teams who need a quarterback
come running
might be very interested in Lamar.
Just come running for this guy, right?
Instead, at the owners' meetings in Arizona, it seemed like Lamar's name was brought up and everybody was trying to find the fire exit. Nobody wanted to be bothered. It's a very, very strange thing. Let's give some examples. So let's start with the Washington Commanders, okay? You look at the Commanders. And the Commanders have Sam Howell as their starting quarterback.
Never heard of him.
It's
the
so
roster.
Quiet in here.
Yeah, on the roster right now. They've had Taylor Heineke. They've had Carson Wentz. So Ron Rivera, you would think Washington would be interested in Lamar Jackson.
When you bring an entity that has, you know, the number, the contract number, and the impact it's going to have, it's going to change exactly what we're trying to do right now. And that's the thing that we decided in terms of where we wanted to go. When we had our discussions, you know, as a group, we talked about what we felt and how we feel about it, and we felt that going forward with what we've got with Sam and Jacoby now, we feel we can do that because of the guys that we have as playmakers.
Jacoby Brissett.
You know, because, again, when you bring in a player
all
with
right,
a
just
big
stop
number,
it, stop
it impacts
stop
you.
It there. Sorry, we're not interested in Lamar Jackson. We have Sam Howell
and Sam
Jacoby
Howell
Brissett.
And Jacoby Brissett.
It's so upsetting.
Here come the big words, fellas. The entities and guaranteed the next three or four sounds. Here come the big words.
All right, so that's Washington. You would think Indianapolis,
what?
Right? Indianapolis.
Sure.
They tried Philip Rivers, didn't work out. They tried Carson Wentz, didn't work out.
Jim Irsay has been thirsty for a quarterback for a minute.
Yes, they
for a minute.
Ever since Andrew Luck left town unexpectedly, he's been scrambling.
Yes.
Matt Ryan did not work out. Here is Shane Steichen on the pursuit of Lamar Jackson for the Colts.
There's also a former NFL MVP that's currently franchise tagged, and there's a lot of speculation about you guys connected to Lamar. How much of it all have you discussed that possibility?
Right now, we're just focused on doing our job day in and day out.
You've already learned how to not answer a question. It's good.
Yeah.
Got him.
Irsay also came out and talked about some other stuff. He said guaranteed money. And
I don't believe in guaranteed contracts.
I don't believe in guaranteed contracts.
My response to that would be, how many contracts where you got money coming are not guaranteed, Jim Irsay, and all your business dealings?
This guy who's paid millions of dollars guaranteed for a guitar is not willing to play guaranteed money for a franchise quarterback. So that's the Colts. Okay, let's move to Atlanta, because you'd figure Atlanta – again, Matt Ryan didn't work out. They had Marcus Mariota, obviously did not work out. You'd think that their offense would be perfect. Well, Arthur Blank, I could tell you, he shut that down. They're not interested in going after Lamar Jackson, and also said it was different than Deshaun Watson and all this other blahness and blah, 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 blah.
He said we have Desmond Ridder, and he's going to start.
Desmond Ridder is,
and Taylor
is
Heineke.
Desmond Ridder?
Taylor Heineke, who's from Atlanta and lives 7 miles away from the stadium, we wanted to give him a shot.
We got guys, okay? We got guys that can throw a football. Asking me about Lamar Jackson. How dare you? Did you not see the guys throw the football? It happened. They played in college and all that. The Patriots have Mac Jones. Mac Jones obviously had a down season last year. Here was Bill Belichick on the idea of Lamar Jackson.
Bill, do you envision a scenario where the Patriots would pursue Lamar Jackson, who's been assigned the franchise tag, but the non-exclusive tag by the Ravens?
Yeah, Mike, I'm not going to talk about players on any other team.
He's a free agent, so I didn't know.
He's not on another team, Bill. I hate to break it to you, but
Mike Reese is the man.
That does not work here. He is not. He's not employed by anybody.
Yeah, I'm not. Not going to talk about a player on another team. He's not on another team. Next question. The Lions said no. They've got Jared Goff. They're thrilled. Miami, they picked up Tua's option. He's got concussions. They're not looking at Lamar. Everybody running away from
Lamar
Jackson.
How does this happen? How does this happen?
I mean, it's just, do you think in Arizona, where all the owners met and all these guys were paraded out in front of microphones, asked about Lamar, and everybody to a man was on the same page? Isn't that amazing how all of these head coaches and owners and general managers can all be on the same page about a player?
It's wild.
They're hardly ever on the same page about any player. But this player, this particular player who's a free agent, all of a sudden everybody from Detroit to Washington to New England to Indy, I feel like Howard Dean years ago, just naming all of them.
Yeah!
All of these players, everybody to a man, to a person, to a human was like, Lamar? No. I mean, we got Sam Howell. We've got Taylor Heineke. Jared Goff.
Who's the Falcons quarterback
again? Jacoby Brissett. We have Desmond Ridder.
Ridder?
He threw a football. He throws footballs for a living.
And we got Taylor Heineke. Don't forget that.
Don't forget Taylor Heineke.
Who's from Atlanta.
I mean, he had a great commercial thing, I think, with Heineken at one point, so that's good for him. I mean, these are significant people that we're talking about.
This is wild.
Now, what I'll say is this. There are
going out of their way to tell you, no, I'm not interested.
Yeah, and if you're a team, look, if you want to go cheaper at quarterback and surround your team with just legit talent, I get it. San Francisco does it. That fine, okay? There are two ways to me that you can win in the league. With an elite quarterback or a good quarterback and tons of talent around that quarterback. So, for example, if Bill Belichick does not want to trade for Lamar Jackson because he has Mac Jones on his rookie deal, fine. But go out there and get a DeAndre Hopkins. Go out there and trade for a Jerry Jeudy. Go out there and surround him with the talent like Shanahan does with Brock Purdy. Because if San Fran comes out and says, we don't want Lamar, you can disagree with that. But there is reasonable thought and logic to saying, no, we have a guy on his rookie contract at quarterback. We're going to surround him with Debo and Ayuk and George Kittle and trade for Run CMC. Boom, 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 right? If you're Andy Reid, you got Patrick Mahomes. You don't necessarily have to go crazy to keep Tyreek Hill because you have Patrick Mahomes. So you got to pick a lane. And it's just,
it's funny how everybody's philosophy on quarterbacks suddenly changed. It's weird. Arthur Blank's worried about his availability and says every game counts. Meanwhile, he was drooling over Deshaun Watson and his two torn ACLs and 11-game suspension last year.
Again, there are reasons why you don't want to sign Lamar Jackson. Fine. I'm not saying there's no reason. I've said it. There's plenty of reasons. He's missed five games in each of the last 2 years. You know, if you want to look at his statistics, he hasn't been incredible. I would say the Ravens did not do much to help him. But there are reasons. You have a guy that you like, and he's making less money. And, again, you can supplement the rest of all that stuff. What I'm saying is this never happens. When you have a former MVP who is at that position, who is readily available and wants out, and everybody else is
and
like,
by the way, Nick, he's now the word is he wants a fully guaranteed contract, but he's a restricted free agent essentially, which means teams can make offers. Nobody's even made an offer. Yep. You know what I mean?
No one has flown out to meet him.
Nobody has floated, hey, we can't offer you a guaranteed contract, but here's what we can offer you. Nobody's even done that. Nope. It's wild, man.
All right,
it's
who wild. Knew? Who knew De'Aaron Fox and Rami had something in common?
So
find
much
out
in
what
common.
That is coming up next.
Cattles
and Rami.
Sactown Sports. Live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles
and Rami
on Sactown Sports.
Who knew that De'Aaron Fox and Rami share a brain? Get to that in a minute. Want to remind you all guests coming to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. And speaking of the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, let's do a giveaway.
Oh.
Do a giveaway quickly
here. What are we
giving
away, Nick?
We are going to...
What do you got?
give you your shot at seeing Super Mario Brothers.
Ooh.
Only in theaters on April 5th. Caller number 8 to the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline right now will win the pair of tickets to check out Super Mario Brothers in theaters only on April 5th. Of course, that number, 1-800-920-1140. Caller number 8 to 1-800-920-1140. You get the tickets to check out Super Mario Brothers. For more information, you can visit SacktownSports.com. I love March Madness. My Vegas trip last weekend was awesome. Had a lot of fun.
Was that planned for March Madness?
Ago, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Had a great time.
Good.
Stadium swim. Woo boy. It was a really, really, really good time. But I understand not everybody is a fan of college basketball. And apparently, De'Aaron Fox would be one of those people.
I kind of flip through college games. I can't watch a full college game.
Really?
No, I can't.
That bad?
It's hard. Okay. It's hard. Just the shot making is not at, obviously, the pro level. The refs are bad. A lot of coaching is really bad. I can't stand it.
He's right, man. It's a tough watch. And I can get into March Madness, Nick, but even there, and regular season college basketball is just unwatchable for me. Like, I just can't. And I don't know how people do. But even when we get to March Madness, my method of watching March Madness is this. They've made it a lot easier for me, too. I used to have to flip from channel to channel to find the game I might want to watch. Now they have the multi-screen thing.
Where YouTube TV had the multi-view.
You can just pull up all the games.
That was excellent.
And then I just look and see. I'm like, all right, are any of these games close and late? Because if they are, then I'll tune in. And if they're not, then I'm going to go find something else to watch. Come back in about a half hour and check again if any of these games are close and late. Because the only thing that pulls me in when it comes to college basketball is the drama, is the excitement, is the unknown of March Madness, and that anything can happen. And that's great. That's entertainment. But the product itself, the actual game that's being played, is, like I said, to me, unwatchable. After being an NBA fan for my entire life and watching the highest level of basketball played, turning on a college basketball game, I don't know how y'all do it.
You know, De'Aaron was describing some NBA games to me as well. There's a lot of NBA games I just can't watch. I have the bad shots, not a lot of defense, some things going wrong. I mean, I didn't really see a lot of difference in watching the Charlotte Hornets versus the San Antonio Spurs and what he was saying either.
Oh, I'm not turning that on either. JJ.
Okay, I'm just checking. I'm just trying to get an understanding.
I'm watching two kinds of NBA games. One is a team I have a vested interest in, whether it's a rooting interest, whether it's my job. I'll watch that, and if there are two good teams playing, I'll turn that on too. I don't think college basketball even has that. Two good teams are still bad basketball to me when I turn on college basketball. I just don't see it.
What about if you're looking for a Sasser or someone who's got a big name, a prospect that we know is going to be
the kid Brandon Miller from Alabama?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I might tune in for a few minutes to see. Hey, what's this all about? What's the hype? What's the buzz? How might his game translate to the NBA with whatever I can take away with the eye test? But there are 9 other guys out there on that court, man. For me, sport and JJ, I know you look at it the same way. Sports are just entertainment. Sports are nothing more than entertainment. So when I say college basketball is not fun to watch, that's not just compared to the NBA. That's compared to whatever's on Netflix, whatever's on Hulu.
Got alternatives.
Whatever's on my DVR.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many other entertainment options. There's nothing that pulls me away from those and to college basketball.
I found it weird. There was like a contingent of people that were going after De'Aaron Fox. Maybe I shouldn't find it weird. It's 2023.
Yeah, somebody's you can't like or dislike anything.
Yeah, people were worked up. It's like, how can a guy who's in the NBA not like college basketball or love college basketball? Who cares? Who cares? Who cares?
Right, let him like what he likes.
I don't care what Rami likes and dislikes. It's not going to ruin my world.
And if you want to go go watch high school basketball if that's your thing. That's absolutely...
If your kid
ain't playing, I really don't know how you're doing it.
Mr. All Red Everything must have won the Super Mario tickets, or at least he called in for them, because he just posted in the YouTube chat, Simone sounds so professional on the phone. LOL.
She's a pro. What do you expect?
When she's on the show, she's like, light the beam, baby.
Light the beam, baby.
She's all going crazy, all bananas. And as she picks up the phone, she's like, Sacktown Sports, 1140.
Stop it.
That's about the size of it, too, Nick.
No. I'm upset. Mr. All Red Everything didn't even have the courage to say, hey, it's me.
Mr. All Red Everything.
It's just out of control. Whatever.
Yeah.
You got about it right, too, Nick. You pinned the tail on a donkey, bro.
Nail on the head, my friend.
Don't ring me up right now.
I want Simone to do like the professional Simone for some of the wacky stuff she says. She'd just be like, light the beam, baby.
Light the beam, baby.
See, there's always going to be the baby. Funny.
She's definitely professional on the phone. You should hear.
Yeah.
And then right after that, she's like, yo, so Jay.
Culturally, I can do something very easily. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's the front desk coordinator or whatever.
Yes.
From her prior radio days that she was doing before we saved her from that.
That's true. Thank you for bringing me upstairs.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if I get enough credit for that fight, Simone, honestly.
You did. You're the Monty McNair of Sacktown.
Definitely the Monty McNair.
All right, we'll get back to the Kings. How much will players celebrate in Portland if they clinch the top spots coming up?